Wyatt Thompson, boys of the Wildcats, K-State, big winners. It was as exciting as promised, 31-28 over the Buffaloes of Colorado. As much bad fortune as there was in the mountains the last time the Cats were there. A little, you know, good fortune in that they were able to maintain and hold through. And look, Colorado, Wyatt, they were down their top two pass catchers most of that game. And K-State was able to take advantage and get the win. Shedeur Sanders still looked good. But here's this game plan again, where they want teams to throw on them and not run on them. And it keeps working.
It does. Good to be on with you guys again. It was a terrific football game and a great win for the Cats. I think they overcame a lot of things. I thought Colorado really battled too. It's very, very, very obvious that they're quite an improving team, I'll say it that way, compared to what they were in week one with North Dakota State and what they were, you know, the last few weeks. It's pretty remarkable what they've done, and they do have a lot of great athletes. It's so impressive watching Shedeur live. He just is such an accurate passer under duress. Yeah, he gets sacked occasionally. Every now and again, he'll throw a bad ball or what have you, but he is such a competitor. Really proud of the guys. You know, I love the defense from the standpoint of the plan going in with taking Austin Romaine out of the starting lineup, which is hard to do. He's one of the highest rated middle linebackers in the country. And you start six DBs. And I thought that really got K-State off to a decent start in the game. And they just kept battling. And man, it was a war. I'm not going to lie. It was hard. But K-State found a way, and it feels really good. I can promise you that.
Wyatt, let's jump ahead to the go-ahead touchdown, ultimately the winning touchdown for Kansas State in the fourth quarter. Avery Johnson connecting with Jace Brown, a 50-yard TD pass, a go route for Brown against man coverage. As that whole situation was setting up and knowing that the Wildcats needed to get into the end zone to take the lead and ultimately win the game, what did you guys see leading up to that, the play call? I mean, just walk us through that entire sequence to be able to get that go-ahead TD.
Well, I think there were a couple of plays that you saw multiple times in the game that K-State felt like they had a distinct advantage on, and that was the wheel route out of the backfield to DJ Giddens. He dropped one, but also made a great catch and run late in the game when they had to have it after falling behind. And then the other is just the long pass, you know, to Jace. It's really, to me, proof that you can see the growth in Avery. That was a dime on that on the game-winning touchdown pass, man. That was perfectly thrown. And it was decent coverage. It wasn't perfect, but it was really decent coverage. I just felt like, I don't know how to explain this. I felt so good for Avery doing that after he had that, you know, deflected interception that turned into a touchdown. And you're up 24-14, and now, you know, 3 minutes to go, you think you're going to lose the game, right? I mean, let's be honest. I'm sure a lot of people thought that. But to find a way to do that and come back and go that far in three plays, that's impressive.
I want to, speaking of Avery, this was going to be, we thought, even in the late window, a high-profile game for him with Colorado, and I think it ended up being that. And I only gauge that anecdotally on the number of people that don't typically watch K-State that were asking me about him doing Prime's dance in the end zone. And and quite frankly, I was like, yep, that's he did. And then, you know, I loved it. I thought it was great, but it did, I think, give a good example of just how many eyeballs were on this game. And that added to the drama. And that stuff matters, I think, for K-State football big picture. To have Avery on the field, yes. But Avery being a superstar is important, I think, in the modern college football era.
Well, I think that's perfectly said. I think you can even say it this way. Tell me if you think this is accurate or not. I think in so many ways, away from his talent, he's a very confident but somewhat soft-spoken guy.
Yeah.
And then there's that side of him, you know, that is doing that. You know, and a lot of people have asked me, you know, about, you know, him riding the bike and taking a selfie right in the middle of it.
I love it.
You know, I don't know necessarily. I'm wondering out loud here, but I'm wondering if the coaches are saying to him at some point, don't do that anymore. The rest of it is fine. I don't know that. But he's got some flair. There's no question about that. And on a night where, you know, we saw a lot of, and let's be honest, Prime out there is like on a scale of 1 to 10 at about 50.
Yeah.
Right. You saw all the NBA people on the sideline there and all of the flash and dash of what they are. And Prime, he's done a great job, man. He's a personality person. And sometimes it's all right to let a little personality show. I think that's what makes sports a little different now than it might have been even as short as, you know, 8-10 years ago, frankly, maybe even 5 years ago.
DJ Giddens, Wyatt, has, again, had another great game on the ground for the Wildcats, and it's kind of like rinse and repeat for DJ Giddens. He's been, I think, a key factor to allow some of that pressure to be taken off of the shoulders of Avery Johnson through the air, just because he's been, I guess, Mr. Reliable on the ground. As I was watching him last night, and you know, he goes for another game of over 100 yards rushing. To me, you know, he strikes me as one of, if not the best running backs in the Big 12 this season. And I always knew that he was a good player, obviously, if, you know, when he had that timeshare, you know, a couple years ago, and then kind of leading his way up to being the lead back. Do you feel like you've seen him get to a point to where he's kind of solidified his place among running backs in the conference?
If he hasn't, they're not watching closely enough.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a guy that's averaging over 7 yards a carry. He is as durable as it gets. I think you saw maybe the best play that I've seen to basically prove his athleticism and his ability is the little shake move past Sanders the other night. Shiloh had no chance.
Yeah.
Right?
Took him to the ground,
I think,
right?
You guys know the play I'm talking about. He's just proving over and over and over just how much he can do, the load he takes. He's such an unassuming guy, and yet when he's out there, production-wise, he's as good as most. There's no doubt in my mind about that. I find him such an intriguing personality, to be honest about it, and I think I don't know whether he likes all the interviews and the spotlight or not, but you cannot take away that production wise, he's one of the best football players in America right now. No doubt in my mind about that.
And I think his success speaks to something else that I'm never smart enough to know a great deal. I can easily see how an offensive line plays when they play poorly. It's a little more difficult to see when they're playing the right way, but for a unit that had as many questions as it did coming in, I have to imagine the coaching staff has been very pleased with the way this offensive line has played this year.
I'm so glad you asked about that, because I think all of those guys, whether it's Dylan Edwards, Avery Johnson, DJ Giddens, will tell you those guys, after frankly a little bit of a slow start, have been great. I'm certainly prejudiced, but I think they're playing as well as any offensive line group in the league at this particular point. And I don't see everybody every week. I understand that, but I do watch a lot of football and I follow this very, very closely. Colorado's a lot better defensively and their schemes are good. They play so hard. They just really run to the football and all that kind of stuff. And let's be honest, most of the night, K-State was dominant and just blowing them off the ball. I guess what I'm trying to get at is I think everybody knew, Jacob, how much K-State lost on the offensive line. It was a concern, and I get it. It should have been. But as I said from the beginning, they have more experience there than people understand. And once they play a little bit together, I'm anxious to see what happens. And I think it's proven out that way. I'll give you what I believe is the perfect example is Easton Kilty, the left tackle. I'll bet he's playing 30 to 35% better right now than he did in weeks 1 and 2. And this is a guy that started basically for 3 years at North Dakota. He's a really good football player. You know, you got Hadley Panzer, who can play almost everywhere, right? Sam Hecht is one of the best stories that isn't being told because of just where he plays and what have you. He's been really, really good. And then Portier and you know, some of those other kids. I love how can you not love Carver Willis's toughness? You know, I mean, all those guys, they're really well coached for one. They have more experience than I think perception, with the perception being out there, and they're a tough group. I'm so proud of what they've done. I'm just being blunt about that. They've been terrific.
Wyatt, when we're talking about the defense for Kansas State, you know, the pass rush being able to, you know, make Shedeur Sanders at least a little bit uncomfortable in the pocket, I think was clearly the highlight defensively for the Wildcats. And it's, you know, Shedeur Sanders, he's one of, if not the best quarterbacks in the entire country. He finished 34-40, 388 yards, 3 touchdowns. When he had time in the pocket, he carved up the secondary for Kansas State. Is that, in your mind, more indicative of just the talent of Shedeur Sanders, or is there something with the secondary with Kansas State that you think moving forward needs to be shored up?
Well, that is a really good question. And I'll just be as blunt as I can be on this. I have to start with Shedeur Sanders' ability. He made a 55, 60 yard throw the other night. I've been doing Division I football games since 1989. It was as good a throw as I have ever seen. Let me say that again, as I have ever seen. It was remarkable. He has a great ability. And I thought Stan talked about this on our broadcast, and it played out perfectly. He said, it's hard. You can get to him with a guy, but you can't get him to the ground with one. It takes two. And I think that was proven out. He just extends plays. He does a lot. I'm saying all of that to say, as much as he did in a one-dimensional offense, I still think K-State defended him pretty well and did an okay job and put themselves in a position to win the game. And at the end of the day, that's what really truly matters. I was so proud of the defensive effort with that secondary from the standpoint of playing, you know, six guys most of the night, a lot of guys coming in and out of the lineup. I mean, Justice James started in the game. Kobe McAllister started in the game.
They're banged up.
Two guys were really, honestly, if I'm being honest, were playing out of position from where they normally play. I thought the coaching there was great, and I'm just going to be blunt about that. I really, truly did. I thought it was awesome.
It's both teams were dropping like flies in that game. I don't know what was going on, but yeah. K-State secondary was depleted. Avery Johnson left the game, and I bring that up because now this very dangerous portion of the schedule really takes center stage. You had as late as you can play a college football game, and now you've got to go back the other direction all the way across the country. West Virginia is better than people thought before the year. You've got all these injuries now to deal with as well, and West Virginia's pissed that they just lost. So this seems like a very trappy week that K-State has got to be laser focused on, and then Kansas looms after that. This is tricky.
You said everything there in my mind, because again, this was I just told a coworker that my front wheels of my vehicle was at the entrance of the airport, leaving the airport Sunday morning at 5:03.
Man,
that gives you a pretty good idea of what they're dealing with. And we talked about this a few weeks ago after Provo, right? And they were mad that they lost there. They were upset the way they played. And I think they made a statement against Oklahoma State. And I think they're continuing to get better. And I think they're well coached and all of those things. But your point is so, so good, because you have a short week and then another long trip. Now, this isn't a 9:30 game. It's 6:30. And that makes a difference, of course. But you also said that West Virginia is better than people think, and I believe that is so. That Iowa State game at their place was a lot closer than the 28-16 might lead you to believe. I think Garrett Green is playing really, really good football right now. He's a run throw threat. They've got pieces. They've got two pros on their offensive line. They're usually pretty good defensively. And then, as you say, you come back, and it's going to be about a month before K-State has played a home game, and then it's against Kansas. And despite their troubles, you know what that game is going to be like. Emotions crazy high. So, yeah, this winning in Boulder was euphoric for me. I'm not going to kid you. I thought it was a great win for the program and Coach Kleiman and all those guys. But now, with what lies in front, it's like people are going to say, hey, take care of business. You're going to end up in Arlington. That's true. But you still got to go do it. And those games will be hard. We all know it. 100%, right?
Yeah, there's no doubt about that.
I see a reaction there. It's true.
It is. And with this conference, Wyatt, that's a good lead into what I was going to ask you about the Big 12. You know, through the first three conference games, the three undefeated teams in conference were picked 6th, 9th, and 13th, respectively, in the preseason rankings in the Big 12. I don't think anybody saw that particularly coming, but I do know that, I mean, going into the season, I think the thought was maybe outside of Utah, it was going to be a big jumbled up mess. It's a big jumbled up mess, but the teams that are at the very top that have kind of risen above and are undefeated through three games are three teams that I don't think anybody saw coming.
Oh, I love the subject too, because, you know, take Utah as an example. They're really a good football team.
Yeah.
I'm still convinced of that. But their lead guy has not done much. That has a monumental effect on their team. He's had a bad hand. If you watched the game the other night, he got an ankle rolled in the first quarter of the game and gutted it out, but didn't play very well. You know, on the other side, you know, I think we all thought BYU was going to be better, but who saw Retzlaff making that kind of leap? Tech has a lot of football players back, and for whatever reason, nobody really noticed that. Baron Morton's been the quarterback there a long time, and I think they're well coached, and they always have good athletes. I guess I'll make this point too to say, you know, those coaches made these picks. They know what they're talking about for the most part, right? But like last year, if you remember Big 12 Media Days last year, guys, and I know you do, I'm going to say something here on the air that I usually don't say, but Neil Brown got up there and he was pissed that they were picked last in the league.
Yeah.
And they were so motivated by that, they went out and won 9 games. This league is hard. That's the point.
And it is.
You
and
don't
it's
always
not,
get it right.
Is it lining up for – that's what I can't decide. I don't think that it is. BYU, better hope Utah's healthy when they play BYU, because their schedule now that we know the Big 12 looks favorable and they have the game in hand.
Yeah.
So – if that leaves one spot, K-State does not play Texas Tech. They do get to play Arizona State. They do get to play Iowa State. But like, and they play West Virginia. So there's three of the teams that they need to be better than, and they'll play, but they don't play Texas Tech.
Yeah.
And so now you've got, you know, you got to hope Tech loses a game, and then you got to basically win them all. I guess the point of all of this for me is in Tech's schedule, they have to go to Iowa State. And we'll see what Oklahoma State is, but that's their tough one. I don't think K-State can lose again. I don't. I don't know that they're going to have enough good fortune falling their way to have two losses and get to Arlington. I think they got to win out in the conference, Wyatt, to get there, I think, at this point.
Well, you said a lot there with Tech, and I that's one thing that you notice, or at least I pay attention to. I loved the Big 12 when you played everybody in football and it was the round robin in basketball, and I'm going to miss that. I've said that all along. And this is part of the reason why. I think that's what made the league so good and so fan-friendly, because you knew you were going to play Tech, right, as an example, or you were going to play that one team that was, you know, and K-State did fumble it up at BYU, so they got to deal with that, right? So it kind of lowers, you know, what you can get away with. And you're probably right. Getting there with two doesn't look necessarily like a great opportunity right now. And it's probably correct. We'll see how it plays out. But who, I'm just going to say this too, the tiebreaker situation last year was a mess. I hope it's better now. I need to start to look at that a little bit too. We got a long way to go, though.
Well, the problem with it is, I think, like, you can handle business against Iowa State, and you can take care of West Virginia and Arizona State. You've already taken care of Colorado. So those are all good things. And you get Cincinnati, who also only has a loss, I suppose we should mention. But you're not going to have tiebreaker against BYU. And if they are going to lose a game the rest of the way, you're either tie-breaking with whatever the rules are, or you'll lose the tiebreaker to that team. That's like, so which law? I mean, I suppose if they, you know, if they lost to Kansas at this point, it would be possible, but otherwise you're going to be behind a tiebreaker head to head to somebody if they lose another game. So I don't know. I think they got to win out. And I think, you know, they can, like, for sure they can. I think they can, but yeah, it's going to be tough.
Yeah, it will be tough. And, you know, when you think about all of the tiebreaker stuff and all of that and how much time is left, for me, you put it into perspective when you started mentioning all the teams that K-State plays. They play West Virginia and Morgantown. I don't know that most people that follow this league have paid that much attention to Cincinnati, and I'm telling you, they are pretty darn good. They finally have a quarterback who can throw the ball, and he's tough. He can run. I think they're going to be a lot harder team to beat than most people perceive. I don't think playing at Houston is going to be a day at the beach either, right? I mean, we'll see. They've been up and down. I will admit that. But when they've been up, they've been pretty good. Playing at Iowa State will be as hard as it gets. You know, I think playing here for teams is as hard as it gets. So I don't know. But I'm not a betting man. I don't know that a team that will play in the championship game in Arlington will have two. But it doesn't look great as we sat here and talked today. No doubt about that.
And if you were a betting man, you really hope you got the Cats at 3 and not 3.5 this past weekend, which was a fun experience to be a part of as betting men as we are. Wyatt, yeah, we appreciate it. Enjoy the brief rest that you get before another long trip out the other direction. Let's kickoff time for that one. I haven't even looked yet. It's 6:30.
That
helps.
Game. Yeah,
that's actually pretty helpful. What do you guys have coming up for us this week?
Well, we'll go on the air 2 hours prior at 4:30. Not totally sure yet on the players. We actually will make those requests today and try to get those guys interviewed later in the week. But one guy, I won't promise this, but one guy I really would love to talk to that we haven't really mentioned that I thought played spectacular football Saturday night was Brendan Mott.
He was everywhere.
That guy is unbelievable right now, the way he's
he was
playing.
Everywhere.
Yeah, he's just, you couldn't have a better sixth year than he's having from my perspective, and I love his motor. I'd like to be able to visit with him. I don't know that it'll work out exactly time-wise, but we'll have our typical coverage. And by the way, there was a Fox/FS1 for all those television watchers. It will be on Big Fox. I can tell you that. That was decided yesterday.
Another big opportunity, another big spotlight opportunity for Avery, who's thriving in it. We're looking forward to it. Wyatt, we appreciate it. We'll talk again next week.
Appreciate it, guys. Thanks so much. Had a fun doing it.
There goes Wyatt Thompson, voice of the K-State Wildcats. If you missed any of it, we covered a lot of ground there with Wyatt. You can go back and listen on the Odyssey app. Mott, man, I'm glad he brought him up, Tommy. You want to talk about a guy like Shadur Sanders who keeps plays alive too long's nightmare? It's a guy like Mott whose motor never stops. And some like he was... I'll be honest. I was fighting and I dozed off one time, but it felt like every time I looked up, it was Mott in on a play. That was a fun game. I don't think they can lose again, Tommy. I think they got to stay with one loss.
Yeah, I think they have to stay with one loss too. Although I think the three teams that are above them that are undefeated in the conference, BYU, they might be talented enough to run the table. Maybe.
Their schedule's not hard. It's not that BYU used to lose twice.
Right. Well, yeah, because they've already beaten Kansas State.
Yeah.
The other two teams, I don't think they'll run the table. I'm not sure that I believe that necessarily. Iowa State, I think, is kind of solidifying itself as, you know, one of the top teams, you know, could potentially play for a Big 12 championship, and they could easily be in the 12-team playoff as well. Things are falling in a weird way where, again, like I mentioned it to Wyatt, you've got 6th, 9th, and 13th preseason Big 12 rankings for the three teams that are currently undefeated in the conference. It's a jumbled mess. I thought it would be. I think we both thought that it was going to be a jumbled mess. But I certainly didn't see these three teams being the teams at the very top.
Right. And it throws off what we were trying to evaluate on the schedule. Just as and BYU would have to lose twice. I think that makes it. But here's what Tech has left. Just real quick. They host Baylor. They're on the road at TCU. They'll be favorites in both of those games. They do have to go to Iowa State. They won't be a favorite there. They host Colorado. We'll see what Oklahoma State does. They have to go there, and then they host West Virginia. They have a favorable schedule for the most part. And yeah, they may lose at Iowa State. That's fine. But then where does a tiebreaker come in? Because that would be their first conference loss. So that's where it gets – because you don't get to play them, and that's where it gets tricky. All right. Let's take a quick break here as we make our way out. Let's give out some Wichita Thunder hockey tickets. Season's back. Home opener versus Kansas City is Friday, and we want to hook you up with some tickets. To enter, just text the word Thunder to the number 20357 for your chance to win a pair of tickets from KFH. Message and data rates apply. Good luck, everybody. Again, that's Thunder to 20357. We're coming right back with more on Sports Daily. It's all Brockton Caster. Don't go away.